Okay, tonight we are going to start looking at the book of Mark in our overview of the Bible. Last week we finished with Matthew, and we said that he addressed in his writings Jesus, the Messiah, who is King, not only on this earth but in heaven. And as we go into the book of Mark, we're going to see, first of all, there's 16 chapters that man had split up his scroll. And the key thought in the book of Mark is that Jesus as a suffering servant. And the Gospel of Mark presents Jesus as a servant savior. The bond slave, who is greatest of them all, and great emphasis is given to the final week of Jesus' life, according to Mark. And the key lesson we can learn from the book of Mark is that Christ has demonstrated, and we must believe. When we read the book of Mark, we could see that Jesus is not only divine, but he also had a human nature. And Matthew addressed this in the temptation of Jesus, where he undergone the same temptations that you and I undergo. However, his example to us is he overcame those temptations. And he didn't succumb to the temptation. We, on the other hand, have to work at it diligently in our lives. And we find Jesus in the book of Mark. Again, Jesus is the Messiah, who is the suffering servant and has compassion for others. Another lesson in the book of Mark for you and I. The compassion that Jesus shared with humanity is unsurpassed by anyone. When someone was sick, he healed them. Not only physically, but spiritually. And that's important because when Jesus was here, he performed these miracles and he was teaching in parables. A lot of people that went over their heads. But the bottom line is, when Jesus was here, he was compassionate, he was loving, he was kind. Qualities that we should emulate in our lives. Mark makes references to a number of parables, and there's about 10 of them in the book of Mark. But also he references 20 miracles that Jesus performed. And when Jesus saw somebody suffering physically, his heart went out to them. And that's a message for you and I. We should show that same compassion, that same kindness, that same love that Jesus shared with others should be in our lives today. The outline of Mark we could look at. We look at the preparation of the servant, and that is Jesus the Christ. We see in chapter 1, the first 13 verses. Second point that Mark makes in his gospel is the ministry of the servant in Galilee. That's where he started. He started his ministry there. Preaching. He started his ministry there, healing people. Chapters 1, verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 23. The second area that Mark hits upon in his gospel is the ministry of the servant in the Gentile regions. When we look at Jesus, he didn't show partiality to one group or another, but yet he included all nations. We see the ministry of the servant on the way to Jerusalem. And you know, in chapter 10, he knew he was going to die. He shared that with his 12 disciples, and they totally missed that. And we'll get to it later on in our list. We see the ministry of the servant, which is in Jerusalem in chapters 11 through 13. And then again in the 14th and 15th chapter, we read about the submission of the servant to death. He knew he was going to die, but yet he was obedient to the Father by saying, "Your will be done." And in the last chapter, we see the triumph of the servant. We see that he was crucified, he was buried, he arose again. And people saw this. People witnessed this. And when we read in the book of Acts, we see that he sent his apostles. He gave them the commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And then again in Acts chapter 1, verse 8-9, they will be his witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they did. They boldly proclaimed God's word, something that we should emulate in our lives. I know it's hard sometimes. It's difficult when we go forth and talk to people. I know I have a difficult time when I speak to people. But the bottom line is, to the best of your ability, preach Jesus. Mark, we see his name John Mark. He was a son of Mary, who dwelt at Jerusalem. He was a cousin to Barnabas. Paul writes about that in the Colossian letter, chapter 4, verse 10. His mother seems to have been a person of some means and influence, and her house a rally point for Christians in those dangerous days. Her young son, that was Mark, already an inquirer, would soon become more eager to work for Christ. That's a lesson for us today. When we put on Christ, we take on that responsibility to give Jesus 110% of our lives at all times. Don't do it haphazardly. Don't do it when you feel like doing it. Don't do it when times are right. Do it all the time. And that's what John Mark did. John Mark went with Paul and Barnabas as a minister on their first journey. But at Perga in Pamphylia, he turned back. We don't know the reason. We don't know why he went back to Jerusalem, but he did. He left the group. And on the second journey, Paul would not accept him as a companion. But Barnabas, not only his cousin, but his kinsman, sided with John Mark. He became a cause of a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. And we read about that account in the 15th chapter of Acts, verses 36 through 40. It's interesting when they separated and went on their separate ways. John Mark and Barnabas went to the first route, which included Cyprus. And just think about where Barnabas came from. His original town, he was a Jew and a Levite. And he was raised in Cyprus. That's where they went. That's something to think about. He wanted to go and proclaim the message there. And that's where John Mark and Barnabas and Paul split on the second church. Scriptures don't share the reasons for Mark's return to Jerusalem during Paul's first missionary journey. Later, Paul and John Mark reconciled the differences. They are found together at Rome when Paul was in prison. And Paul speaks of a journey with Mark to Asia. Somewhat later, he is with Peter at Babylon in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. So he was pretty active. Mark declares Jesus as the Son of God and a messenger of God. Can I get a volunteer to read Mark chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, please? And don't be shy on Zoom. Just jump in whenever.
In the beginning of the gospel, go ahead.
The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger ahead, who will prepare your way.
And who is that messenger? Absolutely. John the Baptist. And that's something we have to think about when we really read Jesus' life. He submitted to John's baptism as an example for us. And we as Christians should emulate Jesus in our lives at all times. We see in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. So he's human. He was in a human family. And Matthew says the same thing. Can I get a volunteer to read Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, please?
Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas?
Thank you, Carol. So we see that Jesus was in a human family, had interactions with brothers and sisters. He was raised by Mary and Joseph. And I would imagine his trade would have been a carpenter. We see that Mark's audience consisted of Gentile converts and Jewish Christians. Mark presents Jesus as a humble servant of man. He talks about miracles to show God's power, kindness, and mercy. Mark reveals Jesus as God's suffering servant. His work also was always for a larger purpose. His miracles, his power, demonstrated his divinity, his kindness, compassion, and love came from God. And that's an example for us today. We should share in that and display that in our Christian walk of life. Can I get a volunteer to read Mark chapter 10, verse 45, please? Thank you, Eileen. So the Son of Man, Jesus, he didn't come down here on earth to be served. He came down here to serve mankind. And also, during that service to mankind, he gave his life up as the ultimate sacrifice that mankind has for forgiveness of sins. We ought to minister as he did, with the same greatness of humility and devotion to the service of others. I know that's difficult to think about, but we're here as Christians to serve others. Not only our friends, not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also those in the world today. Those who do not have Jesus in their lives. Jesus exhorted us to remember that to be great in God's kingdom, we must be the servant of all. How true is that today when we serve each other? We elevate our friends, we elevate others to a point where they can see the kindness, the goodness, the compassion, and the love a Christian has in their lives. Can I get a volunteer to read Mark chapter 10, verse 43 and 44, please?
I'll do that.
Go ahead.
But it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be a first among you shall be slave of all.
Thank you very much, Ron. So we see we should serve each other. We should be a slave to all. We should put others first. And that's what Mark is sharing with us in his gospel message to us. Self-sacrifice should transcend our need for recognition or reward. Jesus was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. We shouldn't seek human recognition. I know people crave for that. People in the world desire that. We see that in athletes. We see that in people of power. But Christians, we have a reward, and that is in heaven. And we should be working towards that end so that we can serve each other. Even if it means we sacrifice our own happiness, our own material wealth, our own desires, so that others may see that the only way they can get eternal life is through Christ. And that's the message we should be sharing with each other. Look at Jesus. He was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. He was willing to die on the cross. He was obedient to the Father. He could have said, I don't want to do this, but yet he didn't. God the Father said he needs this sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, and that was Jesus. And when you read the Hebrew letter, you can see why. It's better than the old way, the Old Testament way. The Gospel of Mark begins with a brief account of the work of John the Baptist, who is referred to as the forerunner of the coming of the Messiah, the messenger, as Di had put it before. During these days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Following Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of God rested upon Jesus, and from that time forward, Jesus dedicated his life to the work of preparing people for the coming of God's kingdom. That is so powerful. when Jesus was here, he was sharing the message of the kingdom of God with those around him. And when you look at the people, the Jewish leaders, the elders, the scribes, they understood what scripture said, but yet they totally missed Jesus being here. His public ministry was preceded by a period of temptation in the wilderness. Again, an example for you and I. When we as Christians are tempted, ask God for help. Ask your brothers and sisters to help you pray and overcome this temptation so that you can grow spiritually. Soon after the arrest of John the Baptist, Jesus appeared in Galilee, preaching the gospel and saying, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." After choosing his disciples, he began a vigorous program of evangelism by preaching to the people and healing the sick who were brought to him. So we see that his message was to repent and be baptized. We proclaim that same message today. The gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection. And the only way that someone can have eternal life is to repent from their sins, turn away from them, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized into his body. That's all it takes. But more important, along with that, is to live a faithful and godly life. And we could do that by reading the Bible, by making the application of what is written down to our lives so that we can be better servants of God. Mark's gospel is devoted to giving account of the deeds that Jesus performed. Many of these deeds deal with healing the sick. For example, Mark tells of the healing of Simon's mother-in-law, who was afflicted with a severe fever. A paralytic who was lowered through the hole of a roof was healed and made to walk again. And we'll cover this particular instance a little later on in our study. A man with a withered hand was made whole when he encountered Jesus in the synagogue. Unclean spirits were driven out of Gerasene. Demonics, Jairus' daughter, who was at the point of death, was made well again. A woman suffering from a hemorrhage was healed. And a boy who was possessed by an unclean spirit since early childhood was restored to health in the presence of his father. In addition to these miracles of healing, Mark reports such instances as the stilling of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, the feeding of the 5,000, the cursing of the fig tree, and other significant events. Most of the miracle stories furnish the occasion for discourses on various themes. Mark revealed Jesus as a good teacher who offered people spiritual renewal. The Gospel of Mark portrays Jesus as a true God and a true man, reaching into the lives of people and causing physical and circumstantial change. That's so important in our lives today. We should be sharing this message with others. We weren't there. We didn't witness all these miracles. We didn't witness all these things happening. But we believe because we read, and our faith is so strong, like Thomas, we should believe the word. Jesus talked in parables, and I'd like to look at this one tonight. Can I get a volunteer to read Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, please?
Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came up and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And when the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 times as much.
Thank you, Carolyn. So we see that when he's talking to his disciples, and he's explaining this, he's talking about the parable of the sower, they must have been amazed. They don't know what he's talking about. So Jesus explains this particular parable in the 13th through 20th verse of Mark 4. Can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sowers word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word that has been sown. And in a similar way, these are the words sown with seed on the rocky ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive the joy. And yet they have no firm root in themselves, but are only the earth. Then when affliction or persecution occurs, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown with the seed among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things anger and choke them, and it becomes empty. And those are the ones sown with seed on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit.
Thank you very much, Faye. So we see that Jesus explains this parable to his disciples. The seed is the word. Some may hear it. It's going to fall on hearts who aren't rooted. It's going to fall on soil that they cannot develop roots. But when the word is sown on good soil, when the word is sown on hearts that desire to hear more about Jesus, who desire to worship God, their hearts will be changed. Their lives will be changed. And you could just imagine what is going on in the apostles or disciples at that time's mind when they heard this particular parable. We don't have time in our class to go through all the parables, but here's a list of parables in the book of Mark. The parable of the cloth and the wineskins. The parable of the strong man. And we just looked at the parable of the sower. The parable of the lamp. The parable of the seed, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the heart of man, the parable of the salt, the parable of the vine growers. And Mark finishes in the 13th chapter with the parable of the fig tree. There's a list of parables that Mark shared the teachings of Jesus. Not only to the Gentile Christians back in the first century and the Jewish Christians, but us today, that we could extrapolate lessons to apply to our lives so that we may be better servants of God. Mark spoke of the future kingdom of God as coming with power. Can I get a volunteer to read Mark chapter 9, verse 1, please?
And Jesus was saying to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power."
Thank you, Ansel. The kingdom of God is going to come with power. You could just imagine in your minds on how this is going to affect people on this earth when it comes. You could just imagine if you were there. And we as Christians are looking forward to the return of Jesus. The Gospel of Mark fully illustrates what Jesus proclaimed his mission and work to be. We see that, first of all, to preach the gospel to the poor. Poor in spirit, poor in heart. To heal the brokenhearted. And Jesus did that when he was dwelling here on earth. To preach deliverance to the captives. Gospel is for everyone. To give sight to the blind, not only physically, but spiritually. Those who are lost, those who cannot see the message of God in the Bible. And that's where you and I come in. It's our responsibility and our duty as Christians to share that message to the best of our ability. To set at liberty those that are bruised. And Jesus, part of his mission was to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So Mark covered a lot of these points in his gospel. And he shared that with his readers, both in the first century and us today. We see in the book of Mark the power of faith. Powerful faith is at work in this passage from Mark chapter 2. Four men carried a paralytic to Jesus, but they couldn't get to him because the place was packed. They dug through the roof and lowered the man in front of Jesus. Can I get someone to read Mark chapter 2, verse 5, please? Thank you very much, Vicki. So, your sins are forgiven. Well, then he goes into a discourse with the scribes later on in this chapter. We see they said, well, is it hard to say your sins forgiven? Or say, get up and walk. So not only did he forgive the man's sins, Jesus performed the miracle and the man walked. He went on to heal the man physically as well. And Jesus saw the faith of these individuals. The four men had faith and their faith was rewarded. Their friend was able to walk. We have the power to change people's lives with our faith. Just imagine what you can do when you share the gospel message with us. You may be able to just to plant a seed and someone later on will water that seed. And then again, someone may cultivate that seed down the road. But be part of the process to allow your faith to be shared with others so that others can see Jesus in you. Now, we could read the Bible and see how Jesus lived his life through the Gospels. We could see how Jesus was compassionate, with how Jesus was loving. And the writer of the Hebrew letter in the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, we see that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And it's up to you and I to incorporate that in our lives. We may say, well, we don't have the time. We have all the time in the world. You and I have the same time. We should put Christ in our lives so that others can see what a Christian is all about. Also, the importance of being whole, not only physically, but spiritually. Jesus continued his work of healing. Throughout his ministry, Jesus was filled with compassion for those suffering around him. How do we view that when we see someone suffering? I know when we see in our family, our children suffering, we try our best to comfort them. We try our best to alleviate the pain. And this is what Jesus did in his life. He showed compassion. He showed kindness. And that's something we should have in our lives. He healed many because his desire was for them to be whole. We know that when we get to heaven, we will have perfect bodies. There's no sickness or dying in heaven. And that's God's plan for you and I, for us as Christians. We should be seeking and doing our best while we dwell on this earth. Now, we only have a short time frame, from probably 0 years to 100. I'm shooting for 120 myself. But the bottom line is, we're only here for a dot on a timeline. And God expects you and I to live a righteous life in his service. Jesus did it. And we can emulate Jesus in our lives. Read about the life of Jesus. Read in the Gospels. And apply that to your lives. Mark pictured Jesus informing his disciples of his great sacrifice and ultimate victory. His disciples either didn't understand his teaching, or they showed themselves concerned with other matters. Well, we read about that in Mark's account of the gospel. Can I get a volunteer to read Mark 8, verses 31 and 32, please?
And he began to teach them that the Son of Man would suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him.
Thank you, Di. So we see that he's telling his disciples, hey, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be killed. And then 3 days after, I'm going to rise again. And Peter told them, hey, what's the matter? What are you talking about? He rebuked them. Again, in Mark chapter 9, verses 31 through 34, but he was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later. But they did not understand the statement. And they were afraid to ask him. But they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he began to question him. What were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent. For on the way, they had discussed with one another which of them was greatest. So they weren't even paying attention to Jesus' teaching. Again, we read in Mark chapter 10, 32-37. Can I get a volunteer to read out a set of scriptures for us, please?
Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead. And they were amazed, and those who followed were fearful. And again, he took his phone aside and began to tell them what was going to happen. Saying, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. Then 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to him saying, "Good teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask him." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left, even with the Lord." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. You are able to drink the cup that I drink. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with baptism which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink. And you shall be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it has been prepared."
Thank you, Ted. So we see three times in the book of Mark, Jesus tells his disciples, "Hey, I am going to die. I am going to be killed. I'm going to be turned over to the Gentiles." They didn't listen. They didn't understand. But when we read the account of Jesus's crucifixion, you could just imagine being there and seeing Jesus tortured, seeing Jesus scourged, seeing people mocking him. And before Pilate didn't see anything wrong with Jesus. So Pilate offered Barabbas as a choice for the Jews to accept Jesus or Barabbas. Who should he release? And they cried for Barabbas. How unfortunate. So as Jesus prepared to perform the greatest service in the history of mankind, his disciples could only think of themselves, their position of safety. And we see through the trial of Jesus, his disciples abandoned him. He was on his own. Even Peter denied him. And Jesus said, "You will deny me 3 times. And he did. Lessons from the Gospel of Mark. Our relationship with Christ should be very personal. And we should remember that Jesus was both fully human and fully divine. We learn from Mark that in a short time, the world can change. We can be part of that change today as Christians by proclaiming the gospel message to others. Mark's life illustrates for us that even sinners and outcasts were welcomed by Jesus. And Mark emphasizes two important characteristics of Jesus Christ. His authority as the Son of God. Jesus was here on earth, and he displayed his authority by his teaching, by his power, by the way he conducted himself. And again, he was under the Old Testament law, which he followed. And his compassionate service to people. We've seen this in his miracles. He had a concern for those individuals that were hurting. Something that we should emulate in our lives. The challenge that Jesus presents to us in the Gospel of Mark involves breaking out of those patterns of self-absorption and giving ourselves in service and love to others. And how do we do that? How do we provide a service to others? By putting them first. By making sure we serve them to the best of our ability with the means that we have. God inspired Mark to write his gospel not only for his original readers, that is, the Gentile Christians and Jewish Christians, but it is also God's word for us today. It is a living word that has the power to change, transform, bring freedom and healing to those who accept it as God's word. When you look at that, the message brings change to someone's life. And you could look at your own life. Before you were a Christian, you turned over your life to God. And now you're, as Paul said in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, you were a slave to sin, but now you are a slave to righteousness. That is something that we should remember in our lives, in our Christian walk of life. We also see that Jesus is the perfect Messiah who came to save the world from his transgressions. Without Jesus' death on this cross, we cannot have salvation. The people of that particular time frame, they understood what Scripture says. There's going to be a Messiah coming. And there were many Messiahs that claimed to be the Messiah. But they didn't fulfill what Jesus did. And we have the record of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and also his ascension. He is also the submissive and suffering servant. One of the primary themes that Jesus emphasizes in his parables and teaching and preaching is suffering for God. How do we today suffer for God? We're not put in a particular situation where our lives are threatened by governments, by people in the world. But yet, when you look at what Satan's doing today, with all this sin around us, even this town, we see that he's working hard to pull us away. We should stand up at all costs as Christians, no matter what it takes. And Peter had shared that message in his first book and second book, when the Christians back in the first century were suffering. We don't have that type of suffering in our lives today. Someday we might. Where do we stand as Christians? And finally, Mark highlights how Jesus foretold his suffering on the cross, but submitted to it in obedience to the Father. That is awesome, an awesome lesson just to look at. Jesus knew he was going to die. He asked in his prayer at the Garden of Gethsemane, let this thing pass from me. But he also said in his prayer to God, your will be done. And that was his attitude. And that should be our attitude today as Christians. We should allow Jesus to rule in our lives so that we can serve God and grow in our faith, grow in our Christian walk of life, so that we could share this message with others. And essentially, that completes the book of Mark. I wish we had more time to dive into these books. Eventually, we would. We will in future studies. But it's important to remember when you read the Gospels that Jesus encountered the same things we do today. And he didn't succumb to those different challenges. He overcame them. And that's something we as Christians should do today in our lives. Are there any questions about this particular book? Next week, we will look at the Gospel according to Luke. And we'll continue our study of Acts Sunday morning.